Hallelujah. Let's worship him. We shout to your name, God. We praise your name, Jesus. We lift our hands unto you, Lord God. You're worthy of our worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. If you are a first-time guest here this evening, I want to thank you so much for worshiping with us. If you're worshiping online, same goes to you. And we just want to connect with you. There is a connection card available at the kiosk out there. You should have received one as you came in. If you're here in person, you can turn that in for a small gift to show our appreciation. If you're online, you can follow the bit.ly link there, bit.ly/CGC Connection. We just want to, just a few points of information, just want to connect with you. Amen. And thank you for worshiping with us tonight. We are in our Mother's Memorial offering season, and we're excited to give to Mother's Memorial. And there's many ways to give to that, plus your tithes and offerings to other ministries as well. And as we've mentioned many times, every service you can give online at cgcmadison.org. You can give in the offering box if you're here in person. Out at the kiosk, you can give by sending a check in the mail. Amen. Who has mailed something in the last 3 months? Good number of folks. Praise God. Bless you. If you have any extra stamps, I don't have any. No, just joking. Amen. Who likes to receive mail? Talk about a ministry. If you want to send a card to me, I'll be blessed. Amen. For those who are using the mail. But you can give. I digress. You can give through the mail. Also, our Church Center app. If you have any questions about downloading that, need some help with that, need some advice, you're not so techie, just see me. I can help you with that. Amen. Walk you through getting that on Church Center. We got a few announcements next Wednesday. We're excited to have a missionary here with us. We had our first one back in January. We're having our second one of the year, and this is Jeremy and Krista Favors, their family. They are missionaries to the country of Luxembourg, which is a small country in between. It's kind of stuck between the Netherlands, France, and Germany. Drove through there once. Beautiful country. But they're going to be presenting their burden. We'll have present the projects that they're raising funds for and just tell what the Lord is doing in that country. And we're excited for them next Wednesday. So come expecting great things. Next week, Friday, is the 3rd, and that is all church prayer, monthly prayer at 7 p.m. So you don't want to miss that. Make plans right here in the main sanctuary. As many of you have heard, Sister Lois's father passed away, Larry Michaels, and they are having a graveside service. He passed away a few months ago, but they're having a graveside service for him at Middleton Junction Cemetery, and a luncheon to follow at the Cross Plains American Legion. That is going to be taking place on Saturday, not this Saturday, but the following one, Saturday, June 4th, starting at 10:30 a.m. at the graveside. So I want to support Sister Lois and the family, Pastor Roy. Head on out there, and you will be a blessing to their family. Amen. And then Sunday the 5th, lots of things going on. First of all, in our adult, during our 10 a.m. classes time, we have our new life classes that are going on. And if you have been recently baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost, we want to encourage you to join these classes. We have a 101, 201, and 301 level, and they are all taking place beginning that Sunday. 101 starts right across the sanctuary from across the lobby in the library, and then 201 and 301 are also taking place. So if you've taken one in the past but haven't advanced, go to the next level, grow in the Lord. This is a great way to learn the basics, so to speak, about new life classes, and helps you get involved here at CGC. We'll want to be mindful of that. If you have any questions, you can see Pastor Jessica. She will answer those questions. Also, that day, June 5th, we'll be taking our final Mother's Memorial offering. You can give at any point, but that will be our cutoff for this year's offering. So you want to get your funds in before then or by then. And then lastly, Pentecost Sunday is June 5th, and we're excited to have a special service in our 11 o'clock service that morning, celebrating Pentecost Sunday, what God did, pouring out the Holy Ghost all over and on the day of Pentecost. And at Christmas time, we answered the question, what? At Easter, we answered the question, how? We're going to be answering the question, what? Christmas was why, Easter was how, and we're going to be answering the question, what? What does God have for us? And that is the Holy Ghost. And we're excited. So invite someone. We have invitation business cards. It's just a generic CGC Madison, but an opportunity to write your name and fill it in. There is the promotional flyer there. Those are those business cards are at the receptionist desk right here. If you go out, take a left, grab some of those. Putting your name in there, your contact information, pass those out in the next couple weeks. Invite someone to that service. Amen. If you would stand with me, I want to go before the Lord in prayer for this evening's service. We're excited to hear from Pastor Jessica tonight. Amen. Amen. So we want to pray for that, but we also want to pray for Sister Jan Rager. She is an incredible amount of pain in her back and needs a healing touch tonight. As well, we want to pray for Brother John Brunker, who also needs a healing touch. Amen. And these are dear saints and dear brothers and sisters of ours. So anybody else have a need you want to indicate by a lifted hand? Amen. Amen. If you would go with me to the Lord in prayer tonight for those worshiping online, amen. Just give that need to the Lord. He will minister. I believe it right now. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, God, that we can worship you, Lord God, that we can shout to you. We can rely on you, Lord Jesus, every day, God, every situation, every ache and pain, every, Lord Jesus, circumstance, every frustration, Lord God, every fear, God. We can just lay those at your feet, God, at the cross, Lord God. We, Lord Jesus, are believing for your touch, Lord, Brother Brunker, God. Lord, we're believing for a healing touch, Lord, Sister Jan, God. What precious brothers and sisters that we have, God, I pray a special healing on their bodies, Lord God. You saw the lifted hands, God, and you know those needs, God. You know those circumstances, and I pray you minister right now, God, Lord. I pray touch those who are worshiping online who need a need, who have a need, God, who need a solution, God, who need an answer, God. Minister, God, tonight, Lord, in our hearts and minds. Through the preaching of your word, anoint Pastor Jessica, your anointing, God, Jesus, I pray. Anoint our hearts to hear, Lord God, that we can grow in you. Lord Jesus, God, I pray. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise as we continue in worship tonight.
The power. thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful presence that we have stepped into. The most awesome thing about Jesus is we don't have to ask him. He's already here. But more of us plugging into him. And that's what tonight is an opportunity for. This evening, the scripture text that the Lord gave me is one that I think that many of us are familiar with. If you've been around church for any amount of time, you've probably heard dozens of sermons preached out of these verses tonight. And I just want to go through this because I feel like the Lord has something for you somewhere in this. And every service that we come into, no matter how long we've been coming, there's always something that speaks to us. Whenever I speak with Sister Jan Rager, who is not feeling well this evening, we're praying that she is healed. But whenever I speak to her, she encourages my heart because she's like, Jess, every service, I think, oh, I'm so tired. I'm going to stay home. Unfortunately, tonight she is in a lot of pain, so she stayed home. But she says, I push myself to go because when I get there, as soon as I hear the word, I know that was for me. And tonight, if we could just approach this as we step into the word of God and say, this is for me. And I just pray that each one of us would say, Lord, open my ears and open my heart to receive your word. This is his word. We're going to turn in our Bibles or our Bible apps or look on the screen to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 1, and we're just going to work our way down this chapter. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus was getting started in his earthly ministry. And it didn't take very long for the Pharisees to get agitated. You see, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day, and they already were looking at Jesus, and they were saying, have you seen the disciples? Have you seen the disciples that he's raising up? Have you seen the baptisms? They're greater than John's baptisms. This is going to be a problem for us. And they began to murmur, and Jesus got word of that, and he said, not now. Not now. I have work to do, fellas. And so he pushed past and said, you know what? I'm just going to sneak out of town, and I'm going to head towards Galilee. And so he was on a mission, but he said, you know what? I'm going to go to Galilee, but I must needs go through Samaria. If you're not familiar with Samaria, it was a place that most Jews, especially the strict following Jews, avoided. And they avoided this place because it was full of Samaritans. Samaritans were people who were left behind when the Babylonian capture came in and the Jews were sent into exile. They took the Jews, but they left behind the lowest of society, the castaways, the people who didn't matter to them. And they said, you know what? We don't want them coming to Babylon, so we're going to leave them here. And so these Jews were left behind. And eventually what happened is other people started to move into the area, and these Jews started to marry into others that they ought not to have been marrying into, but they did. And so what happened was the Jews looked at them and said, those are half-breeds. We don't associate with them. You see, the Samaritans had the same truth that the Jews once held. They shared the same passion for the laws of Moses. But what happened was, as they married, they adopted some superstitions that they used in combination with the truths, and they distorted what was the truth. And so the Jews avoided Samaria. If you've seen it on the map, it's Judea. It's Samaria. How come I can't say these words? I'm trying to say the people instead of the places. Samaria. And then it's Galilee. And basically, they would go all the way out of their way to go completely around. I mean, the straightest distance between two points is a straight line. but they would avoid it. That's how much they despised these people. That's a lot of effort to avoid somebody. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to Galilee, but I need to go through Samaria. And he wasn't saying, I need a shortcut to go through Samaria. He was saying, there's a divine appointment for me, and I need to go through Samaria. If we look at verse 5, it says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. We've heard about Joseph recently. Now Jacob's well was there, and this is where Jesus came. A place called Sychar. Sychar was the ancient town of Shechem. Anybody know where that is? I know Brother Caskey does. Shechem was in Samaria, that's correct. It was the capital of Samaria. And it's interesting to me when I think about the Samaritans, these despised people that the Jews turned their noses up, looked away from them. When I think about these people, they shared the same miracles together at Shechem. You see, Shechem was the place where God first appeared to Abram in Canaan and renewed the promise of giving him the land and to his descendants. Shechem was the place where Abram built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. This is the place where Jacob came safely when he returned with his wives and children from his journey with Laban. This is where Jacob built an altar to the Lord and established the connection between Jacob and what became known as Jacob's well. There was a lot of things that happened at Shechem. This is the place where the bones of Joseph were eventually buried when they were brought out of Egypt. This is where Joshua made a covenant with Israel, renewing their commitment to God and proclaiming, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is Shechem. This is the place where Jesus came. Some people have said that Sychar, the ancient name for that place, means drunken, which was kind of another tick mark against the Samaritans, and people just gave them a bad rap. But here we find Jesus when we look at this story in the Bible and this account of what was occurring. And here we find Jesus who came. He's been ministering. He was making disciples. He's been very, very busy. And he comes into the town. And where does he go? He's tired and he's weary. And he finds himself at the well. And he sits. And I imagine he attempts to catch his breath as he's walked a long ways. But he's tired and he's weary. And sometimes I think when we read the Bible and we hear about Jesus, a lot of times we look at him and we say, he's God in the flesh. He has no idea the struggles that I go through. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. But you see, we have to remember that Jesus fully submitted himself to his humanity. And in fully submitting himself, he experienced things that you and I experience. Anybody feeling weary in the house tonight? Anybody feeling tired? Sometimes seasons of life are really difficult and they beat us up. We get tired and we get weary and we just don't think we can do it. Lately, my heart and my burden has been for the mamas of littles, and the mamas of teenagers. I love my nieces and nephews. My older nieces and nephews, they're easy. They're easy to hang with because you just got to sit there and... Did you see that? It's really easy to hang out with them. Super easy. But grab my 2-year-old niece or my 1-year-old granddaughter, and they keep you busy. So as I said, lately, my hearts have been on the mamas because it's tiring. I get my granddaughter 2 evenings a week, and I chase her around, and she wears me out in 2 hours flat. John comes home, and I'm like, here, take her. I need a break. So let's give moms a hand tonight. They work hard. Some work outside of the home. Some work in the home. They all are working. And the dads. Dads are working hard, too. It's not easy to parent. Let's just be honest, Calvin. It's not easy to adult, is it? It's not easy. It's weary. It's tiring. Life has a lot of demands. It's hard. But we can take heart and we can be encouraged, because as we look into this passage of Scripture and we see Jesus, I love the fact that we can see a pure picture of his humanity and his weariness, but he was still about his Father's business. As he was sitting there, wearied with his journey, in verse 6, he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which means it was noon. The heat of the day, the sun was fully shining. And he sat there, and he caught his breath. And then she showed up. Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. I think of her, and I wonder, and immediately I have questions. I'm very, very thankful that all I need to do is go to the faucet and turn on the water, and I can get a cup of water, or I can wash my hands, and I can flush the toilet. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I think that we forget how much they had to do. When you look back at these ancient days and what they did, the women were responsible for getting the water, and they would go in the cool of the day, which is the morning. And I would imagine it was like going to the cooler, and they would just hang out, and they would talk, and they would just be women and enjoy each other's company. And then we read accounts in the Bible where men came, and they found wives around the well. So why was this lady at the well at noon? What reason was she there? We're not told that. One of the things I've learned from Brittany is ask questions. Ask a lot of questions when you're reading the scriptures. And so I've learned to look at the text of the scripture a little bit more and try to understand, okay, where are these people at and what's happening? You see, we don't know exactly where she's at. Later we'll find out a little bit about her story. But I think she was an outcast. I think she was someone who wasn't accepted into the inner circle, and she didn't get to hang out at the well. And she had to come when she knew that others might not be there, because nobody's going to work harder than they have to and get the water in the middle of the day. So here she is, and she comes with her bucket, and Jesus is sitting there, and he says, give me a drink. I would have given him a drink and not asked a single question so I could just get out of there. But this is not her response. In verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Who are you to ask me this request? And I love the response of Jesus. If you only knew who you were talking to. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you only knew who you were talking to, you would ask for more. If you only knew who you were praying to, you would pray more. If you only knew, you would seek him more. If you only knew. Lady, you're drinking from the wrong well. And ask yourself tonight, what well am I drinking of? Some of us, it's the well of security. Some of us, it's financial security. Some of us, it's a relationship. Some of us, it's just simply entertain me. You see, there's a hunger and there's a thirst inside every single one of us. And we go looking and we go searching in all the wrong places. And he's saying, if you only knew, you would come to me. And I would quench your thirst. I would give you living water. You see, living water wasn't a new phrase to the Jews. We look at this scripture and we read it and instantly we think living water. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about all these things because we know the rest of the story. But at that time for these people, living water was a phrase they had heard. Living water to them was something directly from God. It was an illustration for something directly from God. You see, when they were in Egypt, they, meaning the Israelites, were in Egypt, it was a very luscious land. And it was that way because it was irrigated by human hands. And the Egyptians did a very good job of irrigating and taking care of their crops. They did such a good job that we learned that Joseph actually helped them. And then the people had to go over to Egypt to survive the 7-year famine. So they did a really good job. But it was man-made. It was man's work. It was man's doing that provided that water. And then God called the Israelites out of Egypt, and he rescued them, and he brought them over to Canaan, their promised land. Their promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey. But the difference in this land was there was no irrigation. Their provision came from God. He was their living water. He was the one who provided for them. When I look at this and I think about it, I've learned to love the fact that God draws us into places where we have to depend on him. Where we can't create the outcome, we can't correct the circumstances, we can't make it happen, but we have to completely and totally depend on him. Now, most of us don't like that spot because we want to be in control, especially as the way that our culture teaches us. We want to be the ones who make it happen. And if that doesn't happen, we'll make it happen this way. We're going to find a way to make it happen. And God's saying, if you only knew, you would come to me. If you only knew, I would be the one who provides for you. And here we are at the well, and she looks at him, and she says, you want me to draw you water? You have nothing for me to draw you water with. I imagine that when the disciples went to go look for food, they took the leather pouch that was used for water. And so she's like, what are you going to drink? That's a really deep well. What do you want me to do? And then she's thinking, he said living water. And she's thinking, wait a minute, you're talking about living water? Something sparked in her, and she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank thereof, himself, his children, and all his cattle, and we still use this well. And Jesus, he answers her, and he says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Sir, give me that water because I won't have to come back here and draw it. She was looking at it like, hey, make life easier for me. That would be fantastic. Just do it. Give me that water that you're talking of. And Jesus sees deeper, and he looks at her, and he confronts her. And he says, go get your husband. Now, if we look into the culture, we would know that you don't just randomly go up and start talking to a woman in the culture. That was not okay. It would have been more culturally appropriate for her to have her husband with him and Jesus be speaking to him. But that wasn't what Jesus was about We know that Jesus pushed against the culture and he pushed against the legalistic views and he pushed against the Pharisees. But this was more about, hey, I know who you are. Go, call your husband and come hither. In verse 17, she answers and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. Wow, that's a hard phrase to say. Saidst thou truly. She heard him, and maybe she even winced as he spoke about her past. And she said, sir, I think you're a prophet. How else would he have known these things about me? I think you're a prophet. It's interesting to me, though, that she didn't even respond to her relationships. What did she do? If he's a prophet, then maybe he can answer some questions that I have. And one of the questions was one that the Jews and the Samaritans went back and forth, and that's what she chose to pull on. And she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Can you settle this argument for me? You're a prophet. Can you settle this? I think what had begun to happen to her is as she heard Jesus speaking to her, and she heard the love and the compassion of his voice, that something sparked within her. Because she had a hunger and she had a desire. Like I said, the Samaritans had the same rich history that the Jews had. But what happened was they took the truth and they interwove it with some other ideas and they lost the truth. Because they took as much scripture as they wanted and set aside the rest. And that's a disaster and a mess. It does not work. It will leave you thirsty. It will leave you searching. It will leave you hungry. And she's looking and she's saying, Jesus, there's something in you. There's something in you that's sparking that desire and that hunger within me. Can you answer these questions that I have? And Jesus looks at her and he says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship what you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know the Messiah is coming, and he is called Christ. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. I know there's an answer to the questions that I have. I know that the Messiah will answer these questions. I know he's coming. Can you imagine the look on her face when he looks at her and says, I am he. I am he. I think I probably would have passed out. I am he. I am the one that you are looking for. When he talks to him, he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The living water that he promises us is his spirit. It's his spirit. Balanced with the truth of his word. You can't have one without the other. You can't be all about the spirit and the hype of what you enjoy in the scriptures, lest you become like the Samaritans and interweave in some crazy ideas that knock you off the mark of truth and leave you thirsty. You see, it isn't easy. It isn't easy sometimes to face the truth. I've told my children, if you need to tell me something, I better hear it from you before I hear it from someone else. Because I'll hear it. And you'll regret it. The truth is not an easy thing to face, but it is desperately what we need to be changed, to be transformed, to be renewed. And when we look at the living water that Jesus promises us, we have to understand something. It is not a materialistic promise. It is not a prosperity gospel. That is not what Jesus offers us. A lot of people take Philippians 4:13 and make it their life verse. Can anyone quote it for me? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things. Some people adopt that verse and they say, you know what? I can do all things. I'm going to be a millionaire because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to be the best. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that because Christ strengthens me. The promise of this verse is not that you will prosper in the materialistic ways that we look at. He's saying, hey, when life gets hard, you can do this. When life isn't going like you expected it to go, you can do this because it's me in you who strengthens you to keep going. When the prayers that you're praying don't feel like they're being answered, you can keep going because you're going out of the living water of Jesus in you. It's Him working through you. It's Him going with you. And sometimes everything gets distorted when things don't go our way. When it's not the life that we planned, it's not the day that we planned, it's not the minute that we planned. How many of you are planners? I should put both hands up because I like to plan. Yeah, he's got his feet and his hands, that's right. Pastor Phil is the master planner. Plans. We love to make plans. And when they don't go our way, boy, does it mess with us. You know, if you're going to preach something, you better be ready to live it. What a week. What a week. One day, it's my son calling because he ripped his pants out at school. I need to change clothes. Really, I'm in the middle of something really important here. I got to take care of this. The next day, I get a text message and he split his hand wide open because he dunked on the basketball hoop in school. Yeah, I'm telling on you tonight. It's just one thing after another. I've got to do this meeting. I have to do that. Oh, I'm going to go to work and get my stuff done quick because I have to preach tonight and my laptop won't start and it's dead. Okay, I don't have time for this. I have other things to do. Oh, I need you to pick up Jackie because she's not feeling well. Life happens and happens and happens and happens and it doesn't always go our way. But you see, in it and through it all is that living water that helps us to navigate the ups and the downs of life. The ups and the downs of life. You see, if we read through the Bible and we look at what Jesus promises us, he does not promise us that life's going to be perfect. He doesn't promise that we're going to be the richest people in the community. He doesn't promise that we're going to have the perfect children in the perfect house with the perfect spouse. But I have to say that I'm one blessed lady because I married the best man on the planet. And he's not even listening to me right now. Caught you. Oh, we're blaming it on the little one. Okay. But I feel that way. We've been married 18 and a half years. We've been together nearly 21 years this summer. That's a long time with somebody. And I am thankful that God knew better than I did when he put us together. I thought he was a great guy. Obviously, I married him. But I had no idea what that would blossom into all these years later. And this week, it hit me when I was struggling in this chaotic week that it's been to get up in the morning. You see, our morning routine is he's the early bird and he gets up first. And then usually I try to get up and grab a cup of coffee and sit with him before one of us has to leave and take Kenley to school. And there are some mornings when I get up, especially this week, where I'm like, no, snooze. Snooze, 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 snooze. I am not getting out of this bed. I am so tired. I am so worn out. And then I remember, oh, John has coffee. He's in the living room. I really want to talk with him. You see, any one of you that's been married for any length of time understands that relationships are work. And relationships are time invested. And it's not all big, grand moments on the mountaintop all the time. Life has a way of kind of just snuffing out the romance. But I learned with John that it's all these little moments in time, these little conversations in time. I don't think that I go through my day without talking to him a dozen times. Now, I say talking, sometimes it's just a text message, sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes we're both working from home and I go downstairs to his office just to sneak a kiss and go back to work. But there's a lot of conversations that take place, small conversations that take place. And I started thinking about this because I've had conversations lately with people who are just frustrated because life makes everything so hard and they can't find the time to make happen what they think should happen with their relationship with Jesus. I hate to break it to you, but every day is not going to be a mountaintop experience. You cannot live on the mountaintop. Sometimes you have to get down into the valley to find out what it's really all about, to find out who you really are, to find out who he truly is. And that's not easy because we love the excitement and we love the romance of it all. But it's not sustainable. But yet somehow we trick ourselves, or the enemy tricks us into thinking that if I can't have these incredible experiences, then I'm not getting God. And I would challenge you tonight to dismiss that with every ounce of your being and to understand that to have the living water in you means that you can have as much of him anytime you want. And sometimes it's just going about your day and it's doing whatever you have to do. And it's saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this amazing parking spot. Thank you, I got in the first row. Thank you for my first row seat in church. Thank you that I have a job to go to. Thank you that you have given me the legs that I have to get me to my job. Thank you for whatever it is that gets us where we go. Thank you. I remember one of my first times working in the office about 10 years ago after Sister Carolyn retired. That first day was really rough. We prepared a long time, but as soon as I was on my own, my computer crashed, just like it did today. But I was ready for it because I had backups, and it took time. And I remember thinking, oh boy, what am I in for? And some of the work that we do, even though we work at the church, is work. You still have to paint the walls, clean the carpets, clean the bathrooms sometimes. You have to do different things. And part of my job is data entry. And I get the pleasure of entering in everybody's offering envelopes and taking care of these things. And I remember one time thinking, oh my word, this takes forever. I love that you want to give to every single department, but oh my goodness, you got to key it in, right, Sister Carolyn? You got to key it in. And I'm just like, wow, this takes forever. And I found myself getting a little bit grumpy about it, and the Lord checked my spirit. He said, without that, you might not be sitting here. Oh, yes, that's right. And I changed my mindset, and I said, all right, Lord, this is amazing. And as I see your name come across there, I begin to think about you and I begin to pray for you. Lord, you know where Dara is right now. Lord, you see where Luther is. You see Sister Lori. You see Sister Betty. You see Sister Jeanette. You know where they're at. You know what they need right now. I don't know all these things, but you know. You see, that's what it's like when we just allow Jesus to be a part of what we're doing. When we change our mindsets and say, okay, Lord, use this. Let your living water flow out of me to impact the people around me. Even the people that maybe I've made some assumptions about that I ought not to have made. Lord, let your living water flow through me. If you'll stand this evening, I want to invite you to spend some time. Just challenge yourself and challenge your thoughts about how you approach Jesus. Do you worship someone that you do not know? Do you worship someone you just know about? Are you not going to him because you don't understand who he is? Sometimes it happens, and sometimes we get a little lost. And we grab onto some ideas that are not healthy ideas. And that's what it's about when we say being in the Word daily. And I know it's frustrating when you have littles in the home. And you say, I can't. I want to, but I can't. You know, there have been seasons where it's just simply grabbing one verse and saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to hang on to this verse as long as I need to, as long as you need to speak to me, as long as you need to change me. And I've written them out and I've placed them on my monitor at work to remind me. When I speak, let me speak with your words, Lord. When I work, let me work unto your glory. When I do this, be glorified in what I do. Remind me why I do what I do. And then there have been times when it's like, yes, I'm going to dig into this book and I'm going to learn everything there is about the book of Revelation. I'm going to learn everything there is about the book of James. There are seasons. There are seasons in our life. Don't compare yourself to someone else because you're not in their season. You're not in their moment. And Jesus wants to minister to each of us. When I look at this account of him going through Samaria, he went for the sake of one, Eric. He didn't go looking for the masses or for the grand or for the big. He went for the sake of one. And when he reached one, what happened? She ran and told it. She went and told her community, the community that knew her history, the one that knew who she was. And she said, I've met the Messiah. I've found him. And the Samaritans who fought with the Jews and they couldn't get along and they didn't like each other, now all of a sudden Jesus is spending 2 days there and he's ministering. And tonight I would ask you to spend some time and just talk to Jesus on a personal level. Lord, I need your living water. It's been all about me. It's been all about what I can do. It's been all about what I can create, what I can become. But the truth of the matter is, without you, I am nothing. Without you, I have nothing. I cannot do this, and I need you, Lord, to stir up within me the living water that will equip me to do what you've called me to do. We have a divine appointment here on earth. We have a divine appointment that our world desperately needs each and every single one of us to step into. And you don't have to do it alone. That's the most beautiful and incredible thing about what Jesus did when he came. He came for you and he died for you. He paid the penalty for your sin so that you can live again, so that I can live again. And he says, you know what? If you repent and you're baptized, if you didn't hear the lesson on Sunday, I'd encourage you to go online and find it and listen to that. And then this Sunday, we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost and what that means. But you don't have to wait till Sunday. If you haven't experienced it, tonight is your night. Tonight is your night to go home with the living water inside of you, leading you, guiding you, and equipping you for your purpose in him. And so I invite you tonight, if you want to come to the front, it's open for you to come and to pray. Spend some time and talk to Jesus and find out, Lord, is this about me or is this about you? Is your living water flowing within me? Am I reaching out as you want me to do? In Jesus' name.
Let's all sing that together. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is. What a good word. Amen. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord for that word tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Hallelujah. You know, a couple weeks ago, I talked about giving. I encourage everyone to give to every category. And we found out tonight, not only will you be blessed by the Lord, but Sister Jessica will pray for you. Amen. So I would encourage you to give. I guess she's been praying for me a lot. Help. Amen. Amen. We're excited. We do have service this weekend. I know it's Memorial Day weekend. If you have time, head over to BroadFest. We have a whole host of folks volunteering. Support BroadFest. Money goes right back into the church. Go get a brat. Amen. Say hi to all your brothers and sisters who are volunteering. But we'll see you Sunday, 10 a.m. for classes, 11 a.m. worship service. Greet somebody. Hug their neck and give to every category in Jesus' name.